Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find SportsGrid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Taking over.
Let's go.
It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks.
You and I are going to make a lot of money.
It's Pharrell. Coast to coast.
We are on a roll, a wafer, a wheat thin, a croissant, a bagel. On Coast to Coast from the FanDuel Sportsbook in the Meadowlands, I'm Pharrell with Carver High. Scott Wetzel joining us at Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan at the Sports Grid World Headquarters. We'll get to him in a second. I just wanted to talk about this story that's breaking now all of a sudden late in the afternoon about the Wilder clause. He has the right in the contract for a rematch. Carver High, what's the deal? He's going to take the fight in the summer. And then the story gets way better than that. What happened?
Yeah, this is from The Athletic. Lance Pugmeier, who covers boxing for them, says that Wilder tells him that he's definitely going to exercise the rematch clause for a summer trilogy and that his legs were weakened by his 45-pound costume that he wore to the ring to honor Black History Month. So you saw him come out in that huge gear that he had, and it took him a while.
It not like a space
Fury,
suit.
At least Fury was carried to the ring. Wilder walked as, you know, maybe about half the amount of time, but he had that enormous suit on him, and that was to honor Black History Month. Apparently it weighed 45 pounds, and that tired him out. He also says he's reevaluating retaining assistant trainer Mark Breland.
He'll be fired.
He's the guy that threw the towel, by the way.
Fired.
He's going to be finished.
He's getting fired.
He also got on the referee Kenny Bayless, alleging that Bayless declined to effectively confront Fury over a slew of punches to the back of Wilder's head and neck after telling Wilder he would disqualify him if he did the same thing in the pre-fight dressing room. You brought this up to me while we were watching the fight that, you know, we thought that shot, that first one that knocked him down in the third, you know, I don't think he intentionally meant to hit him in the back of the head there. It was kind of just the reaction
either.
The way things were going. But he did get him in the back of the head.
Well,
I mean, he did.
Without a doubt, what happened was, and it was clear to both of us, that and when they showed it over and over, because in between rounds they show super slow motion of the main hits and punches that happened. And what happened was he ducked, and Fury was throwing bombs, and one of them obviously connected on the back, clearly in the back of his head, right here. He hit him right in the back of the skull, in the bottom, on the top of his neck and bottom of the base of his skull. And I think that, frankly, in my view, from what I saw moving forward with his loosey-goosey legs, jelly legs, and his falling down three times, whatever it was, and then he went down again in the fifth with a body shot. The body shot was legit because he was shot physically, and he was tired and dead. So that shot finished him. But I think that the loosey-goosey legs and the equilibrium problems, the bleeding in the ear, stemmed from, I believe, the shot to the back of the head. And I also believe that that shot to the back of the head concussed Wilder. I thought he fought concussed from the third round on. He was definitely not himself, and he had no strength in any of his punches. And he's going to execute the clause, getting the fight. They'll have a summer trilogy. They're going to fight again. Meanwhile, the whole time, Eddie Hearn and Joshua are saying that's the fight they want. They want Fury. The English fighter wants to fight Fury. That's the biggest fight in the world. That's what everyone thinks should happen. Everyone in boxing, I read on Sunday, every fighter in the world from Holyfield to whoever, every fighter, Tyson, all of them, Lennox Lewis, every broadcaster, every writer, every fighter said the fight the world wants to see is Fury Joshua and not a trilogy. But what you're going to get is a trilogy. You're going to get Wilder Fury, that's for sure. We'll go to Scott Wetzel in a little bit. Let's get an update first, though, from your boy, Carver High.
All right, Scotty, emotional day in Los Angeles as the basketball world comes together for the memorial service of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna. It started with a performance from Beyonce and then Vanessa Bryant, Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal, Gino Auriemma, and many more spoke today from a packed Staples Center to celebrate their lives following the tragic helicopter crash That took them and seven others back in January. New AP Top 25 in college hoops, and Kansas is on top. Following a big win at Baylor on Saturday, they get 62 of the 64 first-place votes. Plenty of shakeup throughout the poll this week after an upset-filled weekend. Baylor drops to number two. Gonzaga goes down to three after a loss to BYU. Dayton is up to number four. And San Diego State drops to five after their first loss of the season, which was to UNLV on Saturday. NHL trade deadline today. Plenty of activity. J.G. Pageau goes to the Islanders for three picks. He also signs a six-year extension with the team. The Penguins get Patrick Marleau from the Sharks. They also bring back Connor Sheary. He was with the Sabres. The Panthers send Vincent Trocheck to Carolina for Eric Halla and prospects. They also get Brady Shea from the Rangers for a first-round pick. Goaltender Robin Leonard goes from Vegas to Chicago. The Wings send Mike Green to the Edmonton Oilers. Ilya Kovalchuk goes to the Washington Capitals. And instead of getting traded, the Rangers give Chris Kreider a seven-year extension. Tonight's NBA, eight games. Early on, 76ers now minus 8.5 hosting the Hawks. The Heat are six-point road favorites in Cleveland. The Bucks are minus 13 in D.C. against the Wizards. Brooklyn a 3.5-point favorite at home with Orlando coming in. And the Knicks are currently getting 14 in Houston. NCAA game of the night is in Tallahassee, a top of the ACC battle. Number 6 Florida State facing off with number 11 Louisville. The Seminoles minus 2.5 right now. Number 20 West Virginia is a 5.5-point road favorite in Texas. And newly number 1 Kansas minus 14.5 with Oklahoma State coming to Lawrence. NHL only one game on trade deadline day, and that is Columbus hosting the Ottawa Senators. The Blue Jackets minus 210 right now. I'm Carver High of the Sports Grid Update. Want the edge? Get on the grid.
All right, Carver High, great stuff. I was just looking at, and Mafia as my witness, obviously. I had such a horrible day on Sunday while I was traveling back from Las Vegas. I went 13-1 in my NBA bets and 7-1 in my NHL bets. Sorry, I sucked so bad I got those two bets wrong and hit 20 of them. 20-2. Sorry I made everybody so much money yesterday on PharrellOnTheBench.com. You know, while I was traveling next to the fat chick sneezing and coughing on me. Thanks so much, darling. You're a real gem. I hope I get that syphilis any day now that you were carrying on me. Maybe she was the difference, Scott Wetzel, in all my bets hitting. Maybe the chick coughing and sneezing on me helped me hit all those bets.
You didn't have anybody banging on the back of your chair, did you? I mean, you weren't sitting in the back row, I'm sure, right? So as long as you didn't go that way, then you got to deal with the coughing and the sneezing, I suppose, for the fat chick sitting next to you.
Carver High, didn't you have the kid kicking your chair on the flight out to Vegas?
The way out there was definitely tough. I was kind of wedged in a spot. Now listen, I'm not a small guy either. I mean, I was at the window I was in. I had one dude next to me. He was a pretty large gentleman. And he had absolutely no respect for either of the hand, you know, of the armrest. He decided both of them were for him.
Oh, he's going to take up both.
He got that. And then not only did I have that, I had the kid behind me. It was probably 10 or 11, and he just kept whacking that chair behind him, whacking that seat. So I had that the whole way out there. So I didn't really get a lot of sleep on the way there. Way home, I was able to catch a little bit. It was a better ride, that's for sure.
All right, so did you watch that, Scott Wetzel, that Laker game and the end of that Laker game with the call that I was talking about? I don't know if you heard me before. I thought that the handling of the Tatum call on the sideline where Pope smashed into him, I mean, without a doubt, right? No questions asked. He called his foot out. He didn't care about the foul. He called his foot out, and then he went the other way, and then Tatum questioned it with both hands up. Then Stevens questioned the ref. The ref ignored Stevens, went the other way, was running up the court, and then the guy trailing the play 30 feet away called the tech on Stevens. That was the end of the game. They gave him two in the ball, and that was game over. That was here. We're going to let the Lakers win this game. Now, I had the Lakers to win, and I middled it. I had the Celtics at 7.5. I hit both sides of the bet. But I thought the last quarter of that game, the calls were atrocious, and every single call went L.A.'s way. I mean, every single call. And the end there with the tech was just embarrassing, flat out. Did you watch that?
I was on the air. I was hosting Sports Grid, actually, in game live yesterday when that was going down. So I had the monitor there, so I was keeping an eye on it closely.
Right.
You know what? That's LeBron, you know, Scott, and that's the L.A. Lakers, and that's the officials. And that's why, you know, I know people don't like Mark Cuban, but I'm a Cuban outside of his politics. I like Cuban. I like any guy that's willing to rip the officials, because the officials, year in, year out in the NBA, just the worst. They have these phantom calls. And, you know, I could deal with a call that's maybe missed, but a guy, as you mentioned, that's 30 feet away from the play, calling the technical foul when there's 15 or so seconds left, I mean, that's crazy. Now, they ended up missing that free throw, but still, you can't do that. You can't put yourself in a position to determine who wins these basketball games if you're an official like that. Unless it's something egregious, you know, someone's throwing coffee onto the court, Jason Kidala, or towels or something, you got to just swallow the whistle there. You can't do that. And I didn't think the call was actually bad, depending on the angle you saw. Now, again, I was hosting, so I didn't, you know, hear the play-by-play. But the one angle I saw, it seemed like they were both kind of fighting each other. But maybe there was a better angle that later they showed where it was clearly a foul against the Lakers. But I didn't think it was that egregious, to tell you the truth.
I thought he definitely hammered Tatum going out of bounds. If they were playing in Boston, I guarantee you, 6 ways till Sunday, he would have got that call. And it wasn't that call that really bothered me, or the fact that his foot was on the line, Scott. That didn't bother me. It was the guy trailing the play calling the tech. When the guy that originally made the call maintained his poise and maintained, he did not tech up Tatum or Stevens. He just said, let's go to the other end. It's out of bounds, let's go. And instead, this jerk 35 feet away makes the tech call, and I just thought it was atrocious. Now, they won the game, whatever. And I'll give you that, he missed the free throw. But it's still, it's the LeBron-itis. He gets every call, and then when he doesn't get the call, he cries. Every time they blow a whistle, this guy complains about the call, and then the refs seem to just start giving the Lakers calls every time he does it. He's like, he's the ambassador for bad calls and always gets his way, and I'm noticing it more and more. We're back with Scott Wetzel on Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Coast to Coast, Pharrell with you. Scott Wetzel joins us from Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan. Carver High is here as well. And I was just looking at my college on Sunday. Not as good. 59% of my bets hit. 90% of my NBA and NHL hit, so I'll take that every day. I love my NBA day. The only game I got wrong spread-wise was the Blazers game on Sunday night. I hit the Blazers to win, but they didn't cover the 4. They were laying 4. So that was the only bet I got wrong. But college, we've been talking about the college games from Saturday, and we haven't talked about the games from Sunday at all. But I wanted to get Scott's reaction to Saturday. What did you think of all the, frankly, upsets, Scott, between – I didn't think Kansas was really an upset. Those are two powerhouses going at it in Waco. Baylor lost to them. It is what it is. They had a clean look for a three at the end and missed. It is what it is. But the UNLV win was huge. The BYU win was huge. UCLA over Rado. I took the 10 with UCLA. I wasn't – I think I even got 10 and a hook. I wasn't that surprised at that. They've been playing decent ball. It's not like I think Colorado's world beaters or anything. What did you think of Saturday's activity with all these upsets and everything, especially like that UNLV winning at San Diego State? Because I was in Vegas, and I said to a buddy, I went to breakfast with these guys, and I said – UNLV winning at San Diego State, my ass. And then they beat him. I couldn't even believe it. I don't know what I was more shocked at, watching Wilder get his ass beat or seeing UNLV beat San Diego State.
Well, I don't know if you know what San Diego State did, Scott, in that game or not. But, you know me. I got a zillion systems here. And one of them is like an anti-celebration system where a team celebrates and retires a uniform number or hands out championship rings. So San Diego State, before the game, lifted the championship conference, the Mountain West Championship banner for this year to the rafters. They had this big ceremony. They honored all the kids. And then they got to play a game against UNLV, a team they, oh, by the way, just only beat by 4 points less than 2 weeks ago. So I never heard of a team that would raise a championship banner for the year they're playing this year during the course of the season when they still had one more home game left against Colorado State anyway. So you talk about a team that was not emotionally prepared to play. That was San Diego State. They went into halftime trailing by double digits. I mean, I don't think that's a coincidence at all. I don't know who the bird brain is that decided to honor the current team by raising the banner to the rafters. But I'm not big for calling people to get fired, but that is one of the dumbest decisions I have ever seen. And San Diego State was not ready to play. So had I known that, man, I would have just doubled down on UNLV. So that is just idiotic to me. Gonzaga, a good win by BYU. I'm impressed with that. I'm surprised Zaga and San Diego State, Scott, both didn't fall that far back in the standings, but I guess with all the other losses. But overall, it was a crazy weekend, and that's just college basketball. I think, you know, picking the Final Four this year is going to be as difficult as any year as it's ever been. It's going to be a lot of fun, though.
I can't believe that story you just told me. I didn't know anything about the banner raising thing. I've never even heard of a team putting a banner up before the season's over. Like, it's not even over. You win the conference, fair enough. You win it going away, fair enough. You're the best team in the conference. You've had an incredible season. You're undefeated. But who in their right mind does that while there's still games left on the schedule? Now, I didn't know about any of that. And, you know, it wouldn't have affected my bet. Like, I wouldn't have changed the bet. I was on San Diego State. I had made the bet early in the morning, right? But I would have never, I agree with you, I would have never believed someone would be stupid enough to do that. I can't even fathom that they would do that. Who does that? That's like hoisting the Stanley Cup before you win it. I don't understand what that's about. Like, you know, who does that? But I'm not, I don't, maybe they weren't ready to play. I think it's more, for me, that was bad. I'll give you that. But for me, it's more what you said earlier, that they, you know, they played UNLV at the Thomas and Mack, and it was a great game, and they barely beat them, right? And so the fact that they went to San Diego and beat them is what's shocking to me. But the fact that they had a great game in Vegas gave them a chance. I just thought when they went on the road to San Diego State, they would have, you know, that 3 or 4 they lost by would have been maybe 13 or 14 on the road at, you know, San Diego State. So that surprised me more than anything else. What you told me is, you're right, flat out stupid. But to win that game on the road is more impressive to me, that they played them so tight in Vegas that it seemed to pay off. They knew how to beat them.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm surprised they didn't fall a little bit further down in the standings. But I don't know why they would do it. They even had another home game, Scott. And San Diego State, not to harp on this, but, you know, that's a good basketball program. That's not like it's, pick a bad team right. That's never won ever before and they're so giddy they finally won something, so they want to celebrate now. Right. I mean, it's a good basketball program. They got another home game anyway, so you can't even say that. Very weird. I didn't know about it either until afterwards. Someone emailed me about it, and then I looked it up, and it was like, sure enough, they celebrated, you know, before the game. Not even halftime, not even after the game. So crazy. So, but yeah, good
so,
job
you
by
know,
UNLV.
They both lost. They both lost, these teams, Gonzaga and San Diego State, Scott. And what do you think happens now with the number one seed in the West? Because like a week ago, you and I were doing this conversation, and we talked about how they were going to let Gonzaga be the number one seed in the West, and they were going to ship San Diego State to the East region and make them the number one in the East, and then they'd have to face the likes of Duke, Maryland, and et cetera, Butler, and wherever else, if that's the composition of the tournament and the regions and the seedings as they go. Because I think a lot could change, Scott, between now and – frankly, the selection Sunday. I think the conference tournaments are going to determine a lot more about those seedings than people predicting seedings a month in advance. 3 weeks into it, like 3 weeks, you know, it'll be 3 weeks full by the time you and I were talking about those seedings being set already. Remember when they came out with the top 16 seeds, which is a bunch of crap, because the bottom line is those are all going to change in the 3 weeks, which we even saw unfold on Saturday and Sunday. On Saturday, when all these teams lose, you can't tell me they're still all number one seeds.
Yeah, I know. And it's funny how the scenario has changed. We talked last week, as you mentioned, either San Diego State, Gonzaga going back east. Now you can make we can have the discussion of, all right, is it going to be Duke that's going to be the number one seed in the East, or are they going to get the opportunity to be the number one seed in the West and have another, you know, East Coast team be the number one seed? So now it's kind of flipped the other way. Which East Coast team, you know, or maybe it's Baylor or Kansas. You know, maybe they both get number one, Scott, and you know, which one is going to be number one? I guess the Big 12 winner. Maybe the loser gets the opportunity now to go out west. So I know it's crazy trying to pick these seeds with 3 weeks left. There's a ton of basketball. I still think Kentucky's got a halfway decent shot of being number one. They're playing great basketball. You know, and if they get to play Auburn in the SEC final, that would be another, you know, blue chip win for them. I wouldn't count out the Wildcats either.
Yeah, I think, and I was even thinking this this morning. I was working out, and I thought to myself, I was, you know, thinking of these teams. And Kentucky, you already know what this guy does in the NCAA tournament. You already know what Calipari's capable of, and you know how deep they go on runs. And, I mean, this is a Sweet 16, Elite 8 team, it seems like to me, every year. And they're loaded. It does not matter that they're all freshmen. They are the most talented blue-chip players in the country that go to Lexington to play basketball. And they've got another exciting team. And I mean to tell you, you know as well as I do, that team, Scott, is capable of beating anyone. They can beat anyone. And they are dangerous. And they can play any style of basketball you want. You want to slow it down? You want to speed it up? What do you want to do? You want to transition run? You want to run and dunk? You want to get fast? They're faster than you. They are always good. They are always lethal. I couldn't agree with you more about that team. They are a tournament team. Just count on it. It's just automatic. All these other teams. Now, you had said something. I'm surprised they didn't fall further in the rankings. And I don't know which team you're talking about, like San Diego State, right? But Baylor lost. But that game was so great. I can see why Baylor would keep a number one seed and Kansas as well. What happens with those two? Because that game was so good.
Yeah, listen, there's the trilogy, right? Forget about Fury Wilder. They'll be the trilogy, you would hope, anyway, Big 12 Conference Championship game. And depending on how close that game is, you know, could the loser survive and still be a number one? You know, maybe. It depends on, obviously, what happens everywhere else. But I would think that the winner would get the number one in the Midwest, and the loser, if it survives, if you will, doesn't get blown out, close game, you know, maybe we'd get the opportunity to be the number one in the West, you know, and get that opportunity, which isn't the worst thing in the world. The one thing I would like to know, Scott, is if you ask these coaches, especially in the East, you know, you could be the number two seed in the East and stay relatively close to home, or be the number one seed, but we'll ship you out West. I wonder if they really had the ability to choose which they would choose.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I guess, you know, we'll find out, you know. I get sick and tired, this is just me, of Duke always getting to play these cushy games in the East. I mean, it's almost like, I mean, I don't know who gets it worse. The Lakers get every call and they get the refs completely in their pants, or it's Duke getting every call all year at Cameron Indoor and everywhere else and getting every national television game and then getting the easy path through the NCAA tournament? Or is it the Patriots who get to play all of their divisional semi games because they play in that division and they get all these cushy playoff games at home and they finally lost? But I don't know who gets it better. It has to be Duke. I mean, Duke, are they not the number one in the East every single year since I've been conceived by my mother?
And even if they're not number one, Scott, they get to play in North Carolina. They get to play or in Jersey,
right,
which is like, you know, Duke East or Duke North.
Rather.
Yeah, I mean, every single year.
I'm sick of it.
And they'll get the Cinderella team. They'll get a team like San Diego. I guarantee you, they'll get San Diego State in their region because, you know, San Diego State will be highly rated, but we all kind of have our doubts about a team that hasn't played any serious competition. That they'll be put in Duke's region. You know, so they try and build their region. They give them a cakewalk every freaking year, bar none. And I don't expect this year to be any different.
Yeah, you know, I think they always give you the excuse, Scott, of that they make the regions based on fans and schools and proximity to getting to those games and having people, fans, have the opportunity to see these teams play. They try to make it good for everybody to go see their teams. Yeah, ask the teams from the West Coast that are going to go 3,500 miles to play if that's indicative for them, because they only do it for their favorites. They do it for the big blue chip schools that and you know, these teams that everyone are so used to watching. It makes me sick to my stomach. We'll come back and talk about tonight's NCAA and NBA with Scott Wetzel on Coast to Coast.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
All right, back on Coast to Coast, because, you know, I know how much you care about news, you know, big news, not just sports, right? The Harvey Weinstein verdict came in, and he got off on the major charges, Carver High, the first-degree rape, and that's what they wanted to get him on. They wanted to get him on first-degree rape and all these heavy charges. What they ended up getting him on... first-degree criminal sexual act and third-degree rape, acquitted of first-degree rape and predatory sexual assault, where he could have been in prison for life. He's facing 5 to 25 on the criminal sex act charge and 4 years for the third-degree rape. So you figure 5 to 25, he'll get 10 at least for that and 2 at least for the third-degree rape, 12 years, and they're sending him to Rikers Island, which is hell on earth. And he's 67. He's already, like, literally... an invalid. Have you seen him lately?
No, he's 67, but he looks like he could be 95. So
he's going on 97,
that's the issue.
I give him the over-under 6 months in Rikers before he's getting wheeled out of there on a gurney. I give him 6 months. The over-under, Scott Wetzel, you giving me an over and under on Harvey's life expectancy at Rikers Island? They're going to put him in isolation. It doesn't matter where they put him. That guy looks like he's going to die tomorrow.
Yeah, I would go under on that. You know, I'm an over player on most cases, but I'm going under on that. Well, you know, you talk about he's a slime ball. You know, whatever he did, we just know it's safe to say he's just a slime ball. Whatever he gets, you know what, he deserves it.
Can you imagine how much money that guy made in Hollywood and his fall from grace? I mean, this stuff is crazy. It's like the, one of these trials, Bernie Madoff type stuff. But that was different. This guy was a freak. And what he was doing to women was just awful and heinous. And they got him today. It took him forever, right? 20 hours of deliberations, at least, in the jury trying to get a verdict. A lot of people thought that they were going to acquit him and that it took so long because they were trying to find a way to convict him because they were going to acquit him because it took so long. But in the end, they got him for a couple of charges, one of them first degree. That's the one that's going to give him 5 to 25. That's going to kill him in its own right. So let's talk about tonight, Scott Wetzel. Very important that we get into some of the games tonight. There are four games in college basketball of note, and the first one is at Tallahassee with Louisville, number 11, going against Florida State, and the number I got it at was 2.5. It's still at 2.5 from what I'm seeing, and I'd like to know how you feel about this game tonight. I think Florida State's a very tough team. I think at home, they're certainly capable of beating Louisville. We've seen Louisville lose at Georgia Tech, at Clemson. How do you think they'll do against a very tough physical Florida State team in their building?
Yeah, it's going to be a great game, right? Great game on paper. You got two real factions here. You got Florida State, unbeatable at home, 21 straight wins. But then you got Louisville, which lost to Florida State earlier this year at home. So, you know, then you ask yourself, is Louisville going to lose twice to Florida State? So I'm gonna call a cop out here, and I'm gonna go with the over. I think there's gonna be points. Three of the last four meetings have gone over. First game went over as well. One team hit 70 plus, the other hit 68. So I think they're gonna hit more than 140, 141, even maybe 142. It may have bumped up a little bit. I think there's gonna be points back and forth. Great runs. Should be a situation where one team is probably ahead by 6-7. Scott, that creates some easy fouls, easy points in the end. Play it safe for me. Go with the over in the game.
Carver High, who do you like in that game tonight? The Florida State Seminoles hosting Louisville in Tallahassee.
Yeah, I like Florida State tonight. I know that Louisville bounced back last week, but I still can't get over 2 weeks ago. And I know it was on the road when they lost to Georgia Tech and lost to Clemson. I'm still not quite over that for Louisville. So on the road tonight in Tallahassee, I like the Seminoles.
All right, West Virginia is in Austin tonight at the Irwin Center against the Longhorns. And we've talked, Scott Wetzel, at length, you and I, about Shaka Conn Smart having his problems down in the Big 12 at Texas. And if his future is in repute, do you believe that they can handle West Virginia tonight? Now, this is a game, if West Virginia, Scott, can fail against an absolutely horrid TCU team in Fort Worth, why the hell can't they lose in Austin to a team? Certainly, I think Texas is better than TCU.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely, right? I mean, and I'll tell you, Big 12 is just atrocious on the road, Scott, this year. As an overall group, they are 18-52 straight up on the road. And if you eliminate Kansas and Baylor, if you eliminate those top two teams, everyone else is 18-52. Even West Virginia, which is, you know, a good team, 3-7 on the road this year. Now, Texas has won two in a row. They're kind of on the cusp of being back on the bubble there. I got a feeling Texas comes up with the win. As mediocre as they are, this is, you know, you can make the case their season's on the line here. Maybe Shaka's job's on the line. I have no faith in West Virginia on the road. At home, yes, but you said it. You can lose to TCU, you can lose to anybody. So I'll take the 5.5 points, and I think TCU could win this thing outright.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Or Texas. Texas winning the thing outright. Texas.
I grabbed the number. Fair enough. I think West Virginia realizes that they have played terribly here, and then Saturday was a joke at TCU, and they lost the game in overtime, but they came back and tied the game and sent it to overtime, right? Carver, this is the game that drove you nuts that you lost money on, that you jumped in-game betting. We were sitting at the bar. You were on your 12th beer. You were very angry, and your team did not cover. Do you believe, Carver High, that West Virginia tonight can realize the error of their ways and turn it around and beat a – you know, decent at best Texas team, but better than TCU. So are they going to lose to this team too, or do they save face and at least win this last game on this trip?
Yeah, look, after the other day and just looking at West Virginia in general, there's no way that they're going to get my money. There's no doubt about that. But it's hard to give any money to Texas either because they stink also. Look, the last time West Virginia won on the road in the Big 12, it was early January at Oklahoma State. Since then, they have lost at Kansas State, at Texas Tech, at Oklahoma, at Baylor, at TCU. Like Scott was saying before, they don't win on the road in the Big 12. It's hard for me to back them tonight down in Texas. It's a stay away for me. Maybe I'll try to get something on the in game, but I can't back West Virginia after Saturday at TCU.
All right, Scott Wetzel with us on Coast to Coast. I have to ask you about this game in Champaign. There's only, as you know, there's two other games. This one, the Nebraska-Illinois game, which is, you know, I'd take my wife out to dinner before I'd watch this game. I would not watch this game. But if I'm going to have to bet on it, which I am, I'm gonna go Illinois, and I'm actually going to lay the dangerous 13 and a hook, Scott, because I think, you know, Nebraska's 7. This will be their 20th loss. And they're 2-13 in the Big Ten. You talk about bad. And Illinois in their building in Champaign-Urbana should light them up. I think they should beat them by 20.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, Illinois is Nebraska, Scotty, is the antithesis of the Big 12. They stink. They've lost 11 in a row. But you know what they do? They cover. And they cover on the road. They cover on the road in the Big Ten. They are 6-1 against the spread their last 7 Big Ten road games. I mean, that's, you know, they're getting double digits. They have gotten blown out a couple of times. I'll grant you that. But oddly enough, most of those are at home versus being on the road. I'm not going to lay 13.5. I don't like betting on teams. I think they're actually going to lose the game. But that's a big enough spread where, you know what, Nebraska, for whatever reason, comes to play on the road. Maybe the teams take them lightly. I don't know. But 6-1 in Big Ten road play is very impressive. Give me the 13.5 with Nebraska tonight.
Carver High, are you going to take that 13.5 with Nebraska and that trend, or are you going to think that Illinois, sitting there at 17-9, 9-6 in conference, on the verge of, you know, all these teams in the Big Ten, like Indiana, Illinois, they're all on the verge of their bubble teams. They have to win. Illinois has to go out there tonight and blast them, not just beat them, but blast them, if they're going to get any juice at all. Like, the Indiana win over Penn State was good. And it was in Assembly Hall, so they're not going to get as much juice for that win. But they did handle Penn State's comeback and beat them. Beating Nebraska does not give you any credibility whatsoever unless you whack their ass.
No, look, I'm with you. And Illinois is going to win the game. But I was seeing the same things that Scott was seeing. I mean, they've been playing on the road, not winning. they've been kind of, you know, covering. Some of them are big numbers, too, but they're still covering. The Maryland game they hung around with a week or two ago. I kind of like the 13.5 here. I could see Illinois winning this game by 8, 9, 10, right in that region. I'm going to take the points with Nebraska and give it a shot here tonight in Champaign.
All right, so I just wanted to say one other thing. I remember like a week or two ago I told you I watched Miracle on the movie Miracle with Herb Brooks, and we did a whole thing. I even did a podcast about it that I watched it. I want to tell you that I'm going to admit that I watched it again. I watched it again last night for the second time in 2 weeks. I watched the whole movie again. There's got to be something wrong with me, Wetzel. I watched it again, and it was even better the 56th time that I've seen it. I just absolutely love that movie. What a great movie. And every time I watch it, and now I'm watching real highlights of that game from 40 years ago at Lake Placid, and it is just delicious. I cannot get enough of them winning that game. I'll never forget it as long as I live that I watched that happen live, and I was a young guy. I mean, it just was crazy. I mean, I don't know what I was in 1980. I was 65, so there you go. Born in 65. So it just is one of the greatest sports memories of my life.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because, we could talk about the air situation, which came on the 40th anniversary. You talk about Miracles on Ice, right, 40 years later. I remember I was actually working. I was young enough to be able to work at a ski lodge, and they had the game on in a balcony, and I was hearing all these cheers and people going nuts, and I'm like, what are they doing up there,
Right.
I thought they were all getting drunk, having a good time, As it turns out, that they were watching the game. So, yeah, that's one of those sports moments. It's like, where were you at the time? And I am old enough to remember it. Isn't it kind of just great how air is up in Toronto with Carolina, Scotty, a 40-year anniversary of that.
Yeah, that was great, too. I will say this real quick. That was the reason I became a hockey fan. I went to watch Mark Johnson play for the Penguins a few weeks later after the Olympics, and I never turned my back on hockey since.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
All right, coast to coast with Pharrell. Scott Wetzel's with us at Studio 34 at Sports Grid in Midtown Manhattan. Carver High's here as well. The only other game that we didn't talk about in college basketball tonight of any note, Scott, is Kansas at home in Lawrence at the Allen Fieldhouse, where they'll get 120% of the calls. And Oklahoma State is getting it was up to like 15. Is it 14 and a hook now? What do you think of this game? Obviously, you know what's going to happen in this game. I mean, I'll keel over if Oklahoma State wins that game.
Yeah, that's not allowed in college basketball. Duke's not allowed to lose at home, and Kansas is not allowed to lose at home either. You know they're going to get every single call. They probably shouldn't in this game need every single call. They have won 12 in a row. They've covered 9 of those 12 too, Scott. So they've actually done a pretty good job against the spread as well. The big fear is letdown. Are they going to be able to come down to earth 48 hours later after knocking off Baylor? That's the big thing. And you know what? Bill Self is a pretty good coach. I think he will. I think he'll have them ready to play today. And Leia, it's a big number, right? 14 or so, depending on where and when you did your shopping. But I'll take my chances that Kansas, in the end, pulls away and ends up winning by double digits.
All right, so let's talk about the NBA. There's tons of games tonight, and I want to get into them. There's a lot of action, and I've got all these plays ranked. One other thing, Carver High, who do you like in that Kansas-Oklahoma State game in terms of your bet on that one?
Kansas tonight, absolutely.
And you're laying a 14 and a hook?
Sure, not a problem for me.
Not a problem.
Scott, I do got one more college basketball game, Scott, if you want. Just one more goofy game. Sorry to cut you off.
Which one is that one?
I always come up with one goofy game. Southern A&M against Alabama A&M. If you just play Trey, I know. I thought you would be a guy
is
that would respect that.
What is that? Is that even allowed, that game? That game should be canceled.
I don't know, but they got solid trends.
I'd rather watch Harvey Weinstein go to jail.
Yeah, that could be entertaining, actually. Listen, I will
All right, so what is it? What is it?
All right, how about this? How about Alabama A&M? First of all, Southern's laying two on the road at Alabama A&M. I got two angles here. Alabama A&M is 13-1 under their last 14 games, while Southern is 9-4-1 under their last 14 games. And if that's not good enough, how about Southern? They're 9-2 their last 11 games, while Alabama A&M has lost 8 of 10. So you got a good team in Southern, a bad team in Alabama. You're only laying two, and then you got two absolute rock-solid under trends, especially the 13-1 with an over-under 130. So, you know, again, if you just play games on trends and you want something extra, four's not enough. They're an 8:30 tip-off. I'm going with the under 130 Southern and Alabama, and then also Southern laying the two on the road.
So there you go. Southern laying a two and the under in that game because the staggering under trends on the game that and those are great bets. I'll give you that. If you know, the thing is, if for me, there's not one person on the face of the earth that's ever heard of either one of them.
I know.
I mean, honest to God, like, is there anyone? Like, I said, when you said Southern A&M or whatever the hell it was, and literally in that game, as 16 people ran out of the race book for their lives. They just started running. And Carver High backed me up on this. When he started talking about that game, there was women and children running for the exits like the building was on fire.
Maybe a couple guys ran to the window, though. You never
Maybe
know.
They were
Maybe
running.
They were running
Thank
to the
you.
Window.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. There you go. Thank you.
All right. I'll give you that. Listen, you got a massive gambling problem, dude. I thought I had a gambling problem until you started talking about that game. Now I know I got nothing wrong with me. In fact, no wonder I look so good. And women just chase me down the street in Vegas because I'm not betting on games like that. I got enough problems. I will say, though, that I ripped up every ticket on that fight. I had four tickets going, and we were walking out of the arena, and I was just ripping them up and throwing them in the air. And Carver, I was making fun of me, and there were people. I mean, there were so many people and so many drunks. I saw some chick just hurling all over the place, literally hurling. And she was dressed in a night. Carver, I tell Wetzel about the story of the girl I saw in the pink dress. What did I say about her? Remember that girl?
Jeez.
What did I say about her?
What did you say about her?
I know what I said. You want me to say it?
Refresh my memory. It was pretty good.
So Scott Wetzel, the girl. So this girl is walking with her friend. And they were dressed like, how should I say? Prostitutes. And the one girl was dressed in a gold outfit, and she actually looked pretty hot, right? But what she did was she convinced her friend to wear a pink, shiny diamond, like, what would you call that, latex? What was that?
I'd never seen
it. It was
like
the
it.
Worst pink dress you've ever seen in your life. And I said, she actually listened to her friend when she told her she looked great in that dress when they were getting ready to go out tonight. Her friend set her up for failure. Her friend told her, you look marvelous. And she said, you look fantastic. Wear that dress. So that when she walked through the casino, literally 100% of the people that saw her laughed at her. We didn't even know her and we were laughing at her. Did I not laugh at her, Carver? I go, someone convinced that girl to wear that dress, and it was her friend, because her friend looked good, and she looked like the funniest thing I've ever seen on the face of the earth. I loved it. I love making fun of people so much. I'm a horrible person, Wetzel, and you should have seen it. Carver, was that not the funniest dress?
There was a lot of bizarre outfits these women were wearing during that fight on Saturday night, but she was at the top.
She looked like an Oompa Loompa with a pink dress on and makeup, and it was hilarious. All right, here we go. NBA, Carver, I said if I don't get these games in, he's going to punch me in the face. Hawks and Sixers tonight for Philadelphia. The Hawks have been playing great lately, Scott Wetzel. They've been beating teams, and Young's been going off. Do you give him any shot at all here? And by the way, Simmons is done for a while. Reports are that he's out indefinitely. Woj, the master story breaker from ESPN, he's reporting that he's toast for a while now.
Wow, that's surprising only because if you saw the play, he didn't get hit or anything. He just drove to the lane for the first time ever and really just kind of like got bumped a little bit, but it was really more just him, I guess, twisting his back. You know what? I'm going to go with it, not addition by subtraction, Scott. I'm not saying that with Simmons, but I've seen these teams over this course of this season and in other years. When they lose their superstars, they play well. They do. And Philadelphia is nearly unbeatable at home. Atlanta's played a little bit better of late, but at home, not on the road. Line is bumped up to 9, I see, which I'm not happy about. But I'll go with Philadelphia to come out storming. And don't forget they lost to Atlanta, you know, what, less than 2 weeks ago. So a little revenge factor as well for the 76ers. I'll take Philadelphia laying the 9.
Carver, how do you think the Hawks at all can cover that number without Simmons in there the way they, you know, they beat them? I mean, do you think they could play with them at all in Philly, even though they're, whatever, 25-2, whatever it is at home?
I got to stay with
26 and
I'm going to keep taking the points with the Hawks until I find a reason not to anymore. They might not win the game, but I like the 9. I'm going to keep rolling with what they've been doing lately.
All right, Bucks and Wizards, Scott Wetzel in D.C., and the Bucks. I originally got it at 11.5. Now it's up to 13. I laid it at 11.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take – I'll lay the 13 as well. You got the Washington head coach that's calling out his team. You know, Washington, real quickly, because I know we want to get through all these games, they were 5-2, Scotty, heading into the break. They were actually, you know, being competitive, and actually, because the Eastern Conference sucks, had a decent chance to make a run at a playoff spot, and they come out of the break losing to Cleveland and last night as well. I mean, just to Chicago, just awful. And the coach called them out. I think that team has waved the white flag. Give me the Bucks. I'll lay the big number on the road.
Heat and Cavs in Cleveland. I did the Heat, and it's at 6.5. I got it at 5.5, and I did it.
That's a lot of respect there for Cleveland, right? I mean, I know the new head coach, the nice win to start with, but then they got walloped the next time around. Miami's not as good on the road, but I'll go with Miami as well. It's tough to take Cleveland in a game that even laying or getting 6. That's not a big enough number for me. Give me the Heat laying the 6.
Carver, high, you on the Heat?
On the Heat tonight. Let's go.
All right. Magic Nets and no sleep till Brooklyn, Scott, and it's 3.5. I got it at 3. I took the Nets and laid it. I think they'll actually win this game. I won't be surprised if Orlando beats them, though, because the Nets, to me, are you never know what you're going to get with them.
Yeah, you know what? Addition by subtraction in this case, though, Scott. I like the Nets without Kyrie Irving. They won a big game against, if you want to call it that, against Charlotte, which had won 3 in a row over the weekend. Give me the Nets laying the -3. Orlando's a train wreck.
Yeah, I hit that game as well against Charlotte. Knicks, Rockets, and Houston. The Rockets, obviously, I like them to win, but that number's 14. And the Knicks, I think, you know, you talk about teams that have been playing tough against everybody. I think that number's too high. I mean, they might lose by 20, 25. It could happen. We saw what the Rockets did to the Warriors, right? They lit them up by like 25 or 30. I think the Knicks actually give them a game tonight. Am I crazy?
No, I think so, too. First of a 3-game road trip for New York. You know what? 14 points is a lot of points. You don't see double digits that often in the NBA. You really don't. You know, even in Minnesota, which had lost a gazillion in a row, had only been a double-digit dog in that run 4 times. So I'll take the Knicks plus the 14.
Carver High, anything there with the Knicks?
Yeah, I would never take the Knicks for anything, especially against a good team like the Rockets. I'm going to go with that Rockets win by 20 to 25 that you mentioned before. That's where I'm going to go.
All right, T-Wolves Mavericks in Dallas. The number is 13. Now, I hit the T-Wolves with 12 and a hook on Sunday, and I'm going to go with them again with the 12 and a hook here. I think the Mavs win, but don't cover the fat number.
Big number. I'm going to go with Dallas. I think Mark Cuban's rant there, maybe he's going to get the officials on their side tonight. You watch them get every single call in the world. Give me the Mavs laying the 13.5.
Carver High, anything there?
T-Wolves are like the same boat as me as the Knicks. I'm never taking them anywhere, especially on the road against a good team. Give me the Mavericks.
All right, I got less than a minute, 50 seconds. Suns, Jazz, and Salt Lake Shakers. I took the Jazz and laid the 8, Scott.
Like the Utah Jazz as well. Suns with monster ugly against the spread numbers, even though they did win their last time out. I'll take the Jazz laying the 8.
Carver High, anything there?
Suns tonight getting 8.5. Let's go.
Whoa, Clippers, Grizzlies. The Clippers have not been playing well, Scott. I like them to win, but I'll take that 9. I look at these numbers. Grizzlies 6-0 against the spread of the last 6, following a 10-point loss. The over's 10-3 in the last 13. Who do you like in that one? I'm down to 25.
Yep, I'll take Memphis. Give me double digits with Memphis. They're a good team. They should be competitive in that game.
What do you think, Mr. Carver High?
Yeah, the Clippers screwed me on Saturday. I'll take the Grizzlies tonight. Let's go.
That's what I'm talking about. Great job, Scott. We'll see you again on In-Game Live at 7 Eastern. Gabe Morenci is coming up next with Game Time Decisions. We'll keep our eyes on everything hockey tonight. Carver High, really quick, jackets at home?
Jackets tonight.
I like that. We're wearing nice-looking jackets. It's Coast to Coast with Pharrell. Check out.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. all major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.